Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you this morning. I have with me Pia Orlean. You all know her, and you've seen many, many podcasts we've done in the past. This is a show topic about sharing palladium wisdom and also how to navigate these ascension energies right now in this modern day of our evolution. So Pia, you have been lecturing, you're an author, you're a lecturer, you were a former practicing psychologist, you have done lots of work around our human evolution and also all the work that you've done with the communication with the interstellar beings called Larkma, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you guys have written many books on ascension and also doing lots of online work. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you so much for being here and for all the good work that you're doing out there in the world. We certainly appreciate you.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. And as always, I have to affirm that we are on the same path, trying to bring a higher state of vibration to those who wish to awake. Those who want to wake up, we're here to support and help that process. So it's a wonderful mission to have.
So, you know, last show when you were on, you were talking about, because you also have the calendar that mm-hmm. you all created. And so right now we're still in the shadow period, right?
We are coming out of it on Friday. Friday will be the last day of the shadow period. So it's got its last little bit of kick going on right now. And what I notice in my clients and people that we talk to is that personal energies are coming up from places that they thought things had just been totally cleared. And all of a sudden they're having reactions or something showing up in their relationship or they want to have a career change. Something's coming up from the depths of the shadow in alignment with the collective shadow, because the species of humanity is on path for evolution. And those who are conscious and trying to be more conscious and aware are tuned into it at such a level that your own deep stuff comes up from the shadows into the present moment.
Yeah, I totally can feel that also, because part of what I, you know, attribute it to also is that deep Pluto energy. I was born in the Pluto generation. I was born at that time. So I have been traveling with Pluto intimately for a long time. And so it was so funny, Pia. When was this? Like about two nights ago, three nights ago, wherever I was before I woke up out of my sleep from the night before. But I woke up that morning and I pulled the covers back like that and I jumped out of bed and I said, I am not a victim.
Oh, good. Perfect.
And I'm good. Like, okay, well, whatever I was just doing, wherever I was, whatever this all is, that right now, that is, again, that divine feminine leadership, that's not a victim, that creator state of being. Mm-hmm. In our creator state of being in our integrity, that we're not taking any prisoners here. We're not taking any victims. We are not victims. We need to take responsibility for our own creations, for our own actions. And so when you're talking about the shadow that's coming up, or the, you know, whatever is coming up mm-hmm. to the surface, so that we can clear it, that we can release it and let go, so that we can create the new earth of how, you know, that's integrity with our values.
What you're talking about, Cornelia, is being authentic, being your authentic self. Whatever you were doing before you came into an awakened state that morning, you were probably in a parallel dimension experiencing something else. And when you came back into full consciousness here, you needed to integrate that victimhood doesn't exist. It's not authentic. It's not real. And so that's one of the things that I'm really focused on right now, is helping people to be authentic, because we get lost in wondering what is authenticity. We're told so much, this is real, this is what you have to believe, this is what your experience shows you, so why would you question to think it's going to be anything else, which totally limits our creative ability for manifestation completely.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at, and what I'm really interested in right now, is helping people to wake up from the dream state of the illusion that is based upon time, because all of our belief systems are based on time. Everything, past, future. The past has all our regrets, it holds all our disappointments, it holds all our pain, it holds memories that were sweet that we wish weren't gone anymore, but it's not the present moment. And the future holds dreams and wishes and fears, and it's not here and not real either. So we are basically, as human beings who are restricted by time, basing our entire experience on an illusion of something that doesn't even exist. That's one reason I'm offering the workshop I'm working about, Pleiadian Earth Energy System, is to help people move into living through energy, live in the energy of the moment. You did it. You jumped out of the bed and said, I'm not a victim. And you are right there present in who you were authentically. And that's what everybody needs to do. It's a deeper level of shadow work. And I think it's really important right now.
Yeah, and all of it is happening. You know, it's the dark night of the soul.
Yes,
it is an opportunity to again claim, you know, your sovereign self. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was doing all of my emotional clearing back in the early day, and I developed the healing modality that I used to heal myself, and that was processing my emotions. The core wounds of the polarization that was playing out in my life through my experiences that I saw. So the core wound, one of the core wounds, was victim consciousness. Mm-hmm. And the opposite of victim consciousness is empowered creator. Mm-hmm. So what I discovered as the victim consciousness, it wasn't painful to be a victim. There wasn't a lot of pain in it, because you can just be passive and be a victim and sit on the sidelines and nothing is hurting. And you can sit there and wait for someone else to do something. And that's also part of that energy that you're talking about, that the, you know, the waiting for the future, not being in the present moment, and really utilizing your energy in the present moment as an empowered creator, not as a victim, because waiting begets waiting. And, you know, there's a purpose for bringing all of your energy into this present moment, into this now moment, and that you're manifesting from there.
We also have to recognize that everything you said is true. And we also have to recognize that collectively, humanity has been in a victim role for a long time.
Yeah.
Look at what's been going on for the last 2.5 years. We've been totally governed, controlled, restricted by fear. If you don't do this, so-and-so is going to happen, which puts you automatically into, I'm a victim, I have to do what they say. Or if I don't do what they say, something bad's going to happen to me. That's victim mentality. And it's not just individual trauma that we're clearing out now with this, I'm not a victim. It's a collective thing that we're trying to clear out for the whole of humanity. Really and important stuff.
It is. And the work that we're doing and that we've been doing, when you just said that we've been told, you know, this is what we've been told. But there is that narrative playing out of people that have been following all of that. Then there's the people like you and I that are over here, and we are not governed by that system. We've already said no to that. We are already living in an energetic resonance of what it is that we are, you know, what in our principles of what it is that we are doing here. And so it is because of the work that we're doing, of the light workers, the light lovers, the light warriors that are doing this work, the people that are waking up, that are working deep within their own, you know, system, that are clearing those programs, the illusions that you were talking about, being trapped in time, being trapped in time, you know, being in that fight or flight energy that mm-hmm. we've been in, rushing around, you know, being pulled into that rather than bringing everything into the present moment right here and right now, where there's freedom.
It's a form of control, and it's a form of control that we do not have to live in. We don't have to do that. If we pay attention and learn to train ourselves to pay attention to the energy that is present, our hearts and our intuition lead us to what we need to do in any given moment. And that is the work of the divine feminine, which is so important right now in this awakening process. This claiming authenticity is all about being fully in the present moment, standing up and being who you are, shedding all of the old dysfunctional beliefs, and not holding on to anything that is functioned around time. Anything rooted in time is pulling us off course from evolution. Evolution doesn't rise hierarchically. Evolution spirals like this. And once we get into the motion of the spiral and go with the flow, we're on the path without being trapped in time.
And I think, you know, like right now, personally for me, what I'm doing personally, where how I'm feeling about it, like what am I living, how am I acting, how am I showing up? For me, it's a constant consciousness of presence to tap into my feeling state.
Yes.
And tap into my feeling state. And also, if I come up against a shadow or some sort of energy or whatever, to release that, clear that, move through, and right away bring it right back to the, you know, in this present moment. And actually, it's a good feeling. It's the place where you truly are free in that space, where there's nothing outside of you, no one outside of you that has any control over you or that is dictating how things are supposed to be. You're not being manipulated by time. You're not being pulled by time, programmed by time, or any other's system or organization's authority, because you are remembering who you are in that moment.
It's a powerful, powerful practice. And the first part of it, you mentioned when something comes up, to really acknowledge the feelings. And that's a scary place for a lot of people, because they're afraid if they get angry, they're going to hurt somebody or break a relationship. They're afraid if they get sad, then they'll lose their sense of power. All of those things are fears that have been projected onto our culture, which aren't really based on your authentic self. Your authentic self is free. It is joyful. It is peaceful and kind and cooperative. That's your authentic self. And that's what we're trying to get back to. So when we work through something and a shadow comes up and we feel really uncomfortable, probably the most empowering thing we can do is to actually feel it and then say, what am I thinking about this? And is that really true? Mm-hmm. Because if you don't question what you're feeling and what you're thinking about it, you just hold on to the pattern of the pain. And once you ask yourself, well, what am I really thinking about what I feel? And is it really true? It opens all the doors for possibilities of a different perspective. That's very freeing.
That is freeing. You know, that's absolutely very freeing. The whole piece with the feeling state is we create from that state.
Yes.
Because, again, we're creating from the heart. And the heart is where it's our magnetics. We're resonating to us how we're feeling, what we're feeling, what we're putting out there, what, you know, it's the heart, from the heart. So if the heart is feeling constricted and feeling worried or feeling tense or whatever the feelings are, that's what you're going to be resonating to you, so that you can see it, so that you can see it, so that you can see it. But if you again, look at where you are right now and work from that place, that if there's any clearing that you need to do in this present moment to, like you said, you know, assess your feeling state. Assess your feeling state and tap into how you're feeling so that you can move into a good feeling state. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
That's what we want. Yeah. We want you to be in a good feeling state. Yeah.
And when you said seeing it, seeing what the problem is, you have to take off your rose-colored glasses or your dark, scary glasses and see it as it really is. Don't make it bigger than it is as a bigger problem, and don't make it something you can gloss over and go around. It's something that you have to just really look at and say, okay, this is real and I have the power to change it. And once you recognize you have the power to change it, you're on your path. But you have to see it clearly for what it is to make that step.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like you said, I have the power to change it because you're changing matter in the moment. You're changing it in the moment by seeing it and saying, this, no, I see this. This is not authentic with me. This is not okay with me. And I'm changing it. And then from that place, I have the power to change it. And so now you've empowered yourself and you're not living and acting from the victim consciousness that, you know. So it's this work, this deep work that we're doing right now, that is the foundation that we're laying down for 2022 and how and what we're building our new earth on that foundation. I mean, we're putting that foundation on from that empowered state. And so no matter what's happening in the outside world, it all begins at home within. This is where it begins. And, you know, it's like you mentioned the word anger, that the anger is a powerful tool, as you and I both know, to release old, suppressed, trapped emotions where you couldn't speak your truth and where you didn't feel safe. Because most of the time when someone gets angry, it's always that I wasn't validated, I wasn't heard, I wasn't appreciated, I was walked over, I was ignored, underneath all of that anger. And anger is a beautiful catalyst to, release.
Our Pleiadian friends, Larkma, tell us that anger is the fuel for change. And I would say it is such an important tool, but you got to know how to use the tool. It doesn't mean you can't just burst out and explode on somebody. You have to know how to consciously use your anger to make changes.
So I wrote the book Peace, the Flip Side to Anger, because peace is the flip side to anger, because if you can't be an angry peace activist, that doesn't resonate. Right. So you have to. And in this book, there's a workbook. There's the first part. I talk about, my own personal journey, how I healed myself, my body and my life. Accessing my own anger and the things that made me angry. And then the next part of the book is a 21-day process. So to really take you through watching when the triggers come up, and then what do you do when those triggers come up? What do you do with your anger when you are being triggered? And, the whole thing is, in the past, we have always used our anger to continue on as an expression of war, whether it is verbally abusing someone and projecting onto someone, or whether it is picking up a weapon or a fist or some form of weapon and letting your anger out that way. What's alchemically healing and the right use of anger is to take it into your own, what I call, spiritual anger management room. Get in there and, let the anger out. That's the place to let the anger out. And once the anger is out of your body, then you can sit down and say, how do I want to approach this now? Because you've released the bullets, you've released the charge, you've released, that energy that normally would have you act out and either hurt yourself or hurt someone else.
Mm-hmm. That's a very key point. That's very important for people to understand that. I think people need to not be afraid of their anger. They don't need to be too loose with their anger, just letting it fly off anywhere and everywhere, and they don't need to be afraid of it. There is a proper use of every tool, and anger as a tool needs to be used correctly in order to get the most benefit out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, anger was a tool that I used. I mean, when I wrote that book, that was in 2015 when I published the book. And I know a lot of the spiritual people were saying to me, oh, I don't have any anger. I've already done that. Oh, that I don't need that, because, again, they were looking at anger as something is wrong with them as a spiritual person to be angry. It's not okay. And that maybe it's for their kids or for their friend, but not for them. I can't imagine a person alive on the planet today and over the course of the last 5 years that didn't become angry about something in the world. Are you kidding? Right?
Yes, absolutely. It's a part of us that we need to embrace. It's there for a reason. All of our emotions are there for a reason. The other thing that I really, really like about the Pleiadian teachings is that they say all the emotions are your signposts for what you need to do to change inside yourself. The emotion's never about anybody else. External circumstances or other people only bring things up in you to get you examine what it is you're thinking, what it is you believe, what you're afraid of, what you need to do to move out of a situation or into a situation. The emotions are just signposts. So they're very, very valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the place. In order for you to get to a place of peace, you have to, you know, be able to process your emotions and feel to heal. And sometimes a lot of those emotions, they're so deep that people are just afraid to dive in and feel them. But that's actually the liberation. That's, you know, the way through. So, you know, you're working on your upcoming course. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what that course is about and what you're going to be doing with people?
Sure. That touches on everything we've been talking about, actually, because the course is about moving us out of the concept or the conceptual framework of time. All of our calendars, if you look at our calendars, we have these nice little Gregorian dates that tell us what day of the week it is and what day of the month it is. The Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar has the universal energies that come in from the cosmos, and they have the Earth energies that we carry for our experience here on Earth. The workshop is going to be talking about how each and every one of us carry an Earth energy and a universal energy, and how to use that in daily life, how to use that in relationships. The first day of the workshop is going to be all about the universal energies, explaining them, defining them, helping you feel into them, so that if you look at the calendar and it says, oh, well, today is a 7 universal energy, which happens to be today's energy, then you can look at that and go, I know what that means. That means it's an opportunity for merging. What does merging mean? That can mean more harmony in a relationship. It can mean marrying the inner world and the outer work you do. It can mean bringing the third dimensional experience into higher dimensions and merging perspectives. It can mean many, many things, but the energy is here to be able to help that happen. And if a person is born with emerging energy, they usually have an automatic tendency to want to be very balancing and healing in everything that goes on. So they may be real candidates for those people who need to access their own anger. So it's really good information to know about who you are and how the energies are in the day. The Earth energies, there's 20 of them that define our experience here on Earth. And we'll be going into depth on those also on the first day of the workshop. The second day of the workshop is going to be all about relationships. We'll be looking at the Venus star and how the Venus star has particular movements that affect your life, not your natal placement of Venus, but the actual movement of Venus astronomically in the sky, and how the different positions put a certain flow into your own life, and how someone else will enter into that flow either as feeding you in the flow or you feed them in the flow. And we're going to look and explain that in real depth. The third day of the workshop, we're going to talk about shadow cycles and about what you need to do to move forward, how to look at all these things together, how to work with the calendar, how to pull it all together for a really living system of having energy navigate and guide your life as you step away from being governed and ruled by all these belief systems and concepts that are structured in time. There's going to be time for question and answers in each of the three sessions so that people can ask what they need to know, contribute what they've learned, just be together in a group setting of connectivity, of we're cooperating and building a new world. This is what we need to do. Everybody's interested in energy healing these days. It's a real hot topic, energy healing. And I see Pleiadian Earth energy as being the basis of understanding how to do energetic healing. Because until you understand what the energies are, you can't really work with them in a conscious way. You can feel them, but you don't have that deep insight to be able to know how to utilize them for your or someone else's benefit. So I'm very excited to be doing this. I've had people who I've done charts for in the past have been asking me for about 3 years now, when are you going to do a workshop? And I've been too busy to do it with other projects. And now in 2022, it's time. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And let me just tell you, for anyone who is watching your show or who watches it later, today was the last day of registration for the early bird discount. But if anybody is interested in this and they want to do it, if they'll sign up for the workshop and send me a code that says Cornelia, I'll automatically refund the $50 back to them so that they can have the early bird discount as a complimentary gift for listening to your show.
Good. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. I know that that's a wonderful gift. Couple things that I thought about when you're talking about the workshop. So, because you said it's 3 days, it's not three full days. So talk about that.
It's 90 minutes per day, depending on where you are in the world. Where you are, Cornelia, begins at 9 o'clock in the morning. If you're in the UK, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're in Europe, it's 6 o'clock at night. And we do have a time change on one of the days also, so people will have to be very careful with their clocks. But we'll talk about all that before it happens. But it's 90 minutes each part of your day so that nobody has to give up their entire weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just 90 minutes of time, concise, coherent, being able to spend time together and then time to integrate it for the rest of the day and then come back the next day for level two.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant way of doing it. That's a really brilliant way of doing it, that you have some time to assimilate and integrate, and that 90 minutes is really a good time. I like that. And I really also like how you've been working towards it, putting it all together, because, you know, we've been talking about it. You've been sharing it now, how you want this, how you're rolling this out. You chose the March dates. I love that you chose the spring for this. Is this before the equinox or after?
Equinox is on the 20th. The workshop is actually the 25th, 26th, and 27th. So it's after the equinox, yes. But it's on the days of the earth energy being, which is the first earth energy and starting something new, and the universal energy of five, which is change. And I chose that on purpose because we're trying to change how we be, how we are in the world. That was the beginning day. The next day is six, which is the energy of flow. So we flow through what we're learning, and it's breathing. So we'll be talking a lot about duality, which always comes up in relationship discussions. And then the third day is seven, which is that energy we talked about, merging and listening, so that we listen to each other, we hear what needs to be said, we voice our questions, we receive the answers we need, and then we close out the workshop to integrate all the information and start a new path for living in energy rather than time.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's fun. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful way to begin really during this cycle right now, you know, with what we've just closed out. I feel like the structure that I'm living in is that the spring time is really the new beginning. So yes. I feel like I'm just now coming out of my cave. from the winter. And, you know, after having digested 2021's life's experiences, and with that huge Venus retrograde that we had from, when did it start? In November of last year or December of last year? And it went all the way through. There was some deep, deep reevaluating where, you know, where we are, where I am. And it was a really deep sacred process to just be. And I feel like what I did during this Venus retrograde period during the month of December, I really gave myself permission to completely unplug and go deep into the listening time and just being. And without having any plans about anything, or, you know, asking, just being, just listening, just being and digesting, you know. And I just felt so wonderful. I felt like what I did then is supporting me now.
I'm certain that's true. And I want to mention also that you said you really feel like the year begins with spring. The idea that we start our year on the 1st of January is something that was imposed upon us by the patriarchy. That's the Gregorian calendar, which is trapping us in time and taking us out of harmony with nature's rhythms. It's never been a real system. It's not a real calendrical system. The matriarchal systems and the pagan systems from thousands of years ago governed the beginning of every cycle by spring. Spring is when everything begins. January is not when everything begins. It's not even the spring in the Southern Hemisphere. It's an arbitrary date that was selected by the patriarchy when they were trying to break apart our connection to nature. So learning this system and beginning to feel when the movement towards spring comes is vitally important to our bodies, to our spirits, to our souls, to all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels, I feel like this year it was more pronounced. You know, I've been living according to that cycle with the spring being the new beginning for, you know, years now. But this year, I guess because it was all on a deeper level. It was just on a deeper level. And like I said, the way I relaxed and the trust, the level of trust that I have in myself now on that level, and just, you know, the awakening, it just felt so divine. It was so profound that when I go throughout my day or whatever, occasionally I will be thinking about that memory of how amazing that was and how I will never forget it. Isn't that wonderful?
That is amazing. It's truly amazing.
Isn't that wonderful? It was how I will never forget it, that was such a profound experience to really, truly relax and allow that time period. You know, it started snowing here right on Christmas Day, the 25th, and I was completely snowed in. I think I told you before that I was so snowed in, the snow around me, everything was so pure and so white. And I felt like I could hear my heart beat. And to really relax into that without any plans, without any shooting, without any figuring out, without anything, just being completely with what is surrendered. And this is also another piece for our listeners today is surrender. Right? Surrender. Yes. I really surrender when you're challenged is surrender.
Surrender to your inner knowing, surrender to what your body, heart, and mind need. Surrender to everything that your heart tells you, this is where I need to be in order to make changes. It doesn't mean surrender as in going back to what you started this conversation with, victimhood. I have to surrender because I've been beaten. I'm a victim. It doesn't mean that at all. The real meaning of surrender is to give up what no longer serves you. Surrender it. It doesn't serve you anymore. Let it go. That's the real meaning of surrender. It's a beautiful concept.
Yeah, and right now with all the shadows that are up in the field, mm-hmm. that this is the perfect time to take out the trash and surrender it and you know, release it and let it go and then come back to the next moment. And you're going to feel once the surrender happens, once you give it up, you're right away going to feel lighter. You're right away going to feel more at ease and more at peace. And it serves the whole when you are at ease and when you are at peace, in peace. It serves us when you are in that state. It also serves us when you're processing your emotions and you're angry and the anger is coming up in you and you're working it out. You're working it out, not by harming anyone or anything, but by really releasing it and letting it go. I've heard you and Larkma talk about this many times about the principle of ahimsa. Mm-hmm.
Do no harm. Yes.
Right? And so do no harm.
You're talking about two very key points. The first one you're talking about with surrender is the essence of the divine feminine, knowing when to fight and when to surrender. That's what the divine feminine is all about. And that's sort of the position of being in touch with both aspects of who you are, as Venus represents the morning star and the evening star. When you're in touch with both aspects, you know when to stand up for justice and when to surrender because something else needs to come through. That's part of honoring the divine feminine. And that is something all of us carry, not just women. Everybody has that aspect of the divine feminine within them. Right. And the no harm, that is key for evolutionary progress. Yeah. We're not going to evolve as a species, as a humanity, until we learn that every time we harm somebody else or an animal or a plant or anything, we're hurting ourselves because everything's connected. It's a really key evolutionary principle.
Yeah, that was actually the real reason why I wrote my book at the time, because I was asking Source, why is it that with the conscious beings on this planet, why is it that we still have so much war going on this planet like we've had for thousands of years? What is the cause? Why is that? So for 6 months, I was then taken into deep experiences of movie scenes playing out to show me what the real cause for war is. And that's when I discovered that anger is the root cause. Angry humans using anger as violent to cause violence and to do harm onto unconscious humans that are using anger, or even conscious humans that are like, yeah, I'm going to do that. You know, I'm going to deliberately harm you. So there's also that going on. But in order to get to peace on Earth, we all have to take responsibility for our own anger.
Yes.
And if everyone did that, we would have peace on Earth. Now,
that's absolutely true. And part of taking responsibility for anger is digging a little bit under that anger and finding out, what are you so afraid of? What is it I'm afraid of? Because when you see somebody, let's take a racial incident, for example. Yeah. If you see one race attacking someone else of a different race, they're not doing it necessarily because only they're angry at that race. That person or that representative of the race may have done nothing to them, but they're afraid. They're afraid of something that's different from what they are. And that fear of something that's different threatens their sense of who am I? And so if we dig underneath that anger just a little bit and find out where's the fear, then we can really use the power of the anger to change whatever needs to be changed.
Exactly. It's really important work. It is. It's so important that this is what I was talking to you about earlier. When you take the anger in your spiritual anger management room, and or even take it out in nature and go in deep into the woods and howl and get it out of your body. But the fact is getting it out of the body, because the anger has to move. And once you released it. Now the charge is out. Then you can bring your spiritual wisdom, sit down with your journal and say, how do you want to approach this now? Now that the anger has been moved out of the way, what is the authentic and right action? The right action with the right principles. What is the right thing to do? Because you're going to find that you're not a victim. Mm-hmm. And I would like to have a conversation with this person. I would like to create a win-win. I would mm-hmm. like to, whatever the situation is. And if we approach it from that place, again, that's the divine feminine leadership that you're talking about. And I want peace on earth. That's yes. my fight. And when I say fight, I'm not out there fighting. I've been working on my own inner anger and then also writing and educating people on how to work with theirs as well. So that's the fight. So sometimes when we say fight, we don't necessarily mean fighting the battle out there, but standing up for the principles of the right values and of being peace bringers, really truly peace bringers, with using our wisdom and not weapons. This is part of our evolution. You know, we just cannot keep doing the same things over and over again that we've been doing for thousands and thousands of years and expect that we're leaving the world a better place. That's the whole thing. We have to make a change.
And change, as we both know, always comes from what we change inside, because the inner reflects the outer. And it doesn't mean that everything we see out in the outer world is our fault, but it means we have the power to change what's going on in the outer world by changing how we respond to it and how we treat everything from a place of ahimsa and kindness. Yeah, and everybody's not going to catch up to that immediately either. And that's the place of surrender. We have to surrender and accept they're not there yet. They're not ready to let go of their fears. They're not ready to do this work. And I just have to keep mentoring by example. That's all we can do. It's part of the surrender.
And and that's what we're doing. This is what we've been doing. That's what we're doing. This is our walk. One of the members in my community, Robert Saul, doctor, he's a professor of pediatrics. He comes with a quote, that a mantra that I really love so much. And the mantra is, I am the problem. I am the solution. I am the resource. We are the problem. We are the solution. We are the resource.
I like it.
Right?
That's a wonderful quote.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Yeah, I think this is just such a profound statement of taking responsibility instead of pointing the fingers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, truly, as you know, Pia, we've played all the parts. Mm-hmm. We've played all the parts. You know, we've been the aggressor. We've been the one that has caused great harm in other lives to other people. We've played all the parts. And so now how are we going to go from, living in duality and experiencing the polar opposites play out to a place of triality and the new neutral way in moving forward, seeing the world in a different way, not in good and bad, seeing it in a neutral way. And that's also part of our evolution. But if we're still acting out the anger and, you know, causing harm to each other, we haven't gotten to the root yet, right?
That means that we're stuck in the dualistic perspective and we're not even using duality correctly. The correct way to use duality is not to look at opposites as conflict or challenge, but to look at opposites to broaden our perspective so that we can see a bigger picture. That's the correct use of duality that humanity has never gotten. And it's time we wake up and use it properly. We're here in a dualistic world with polar opposites about everything. And it's time we change our perspective to understand and really integrate that the polar opposites bring us a much broader perspective so that we can see beyond our limited time-based structures.
Yes. And isn't what this year is about, creating the new structures? We are the ones that are creating the new structures with that Venus retrograde cycle that we've just been through, and now, you know, really knowing, what do you value? What's important to you? What are you going to be showing up for? What are you going to be standing for? What will you tolerate and what won't you tolerate? Those kinds of values and principles, those are the structures that we're creating now. I meant to ask you this the last time when we were together, Pia, when you and Colin talked about the upcoming Venus in 2022 in October.
Mm-hmm. Venus, the Venus star, as she migrates through the sky, is in Capricorn right now. Venus has moved into the position of Capricorn on January 8th of this year. And that's the very thing that you're talking about. We're in the time of creating a new structure. Capricorn is all about limits. It's ruled by Saturn. So it's about limits. It's about discipline. It's about structure. And we're in a time of feeling the limitations of a structure that doesn't work with the opportunity to create a structure that does work. And that's what the work is. Pluto is also in Capricorn right now, which means this is a time of deep transformative work, a time of digging really, really deeply and going, okay, this structure we've been living under in this illusion clearly is not going to work going forward. So what do we need to do to dig in there deeply and change it? When you've got Venus and Pluto both in Capricorn, you've got the Lord of Hell, as some people call him, saying, dig up your shadows, while Venus is shining on you saying, justice and surrender and love. Let's do it in a way that is beneficial for everyone.
I love Pluto. I absolutely love Pluto. Because Pluto is going to go to the depths of, like, when people say the god of hell, I actually feel like Pluto is source energy in its highest expression.
Because I think that's a wonderful way to say it, and much better than the traditional position of the god of hell. But I use that intentionally because everybody's frightened of Pluto. And what we're supposed to be doing right now is clearing out the fear and taking the perspective you've just offered everyone. Yeah, connections for us at the highest level. Yes.
Yeah, that's really what I feel like Pluto is. And I welcome it because without Pluto's depth to go to the bottom of the deepest, darkest corruption of what's not in integrity with our humanity, of who we are, not just as humans, but as divines, as you know, the amazing beings that we are. So Pluto is taking us there. So don't be afraid of your depth. Don't be afraid of the intensity. Don't be afraid with Venus and Mars, you know, don't be afraid of all of that, because, you know, again, this is part of our creating our new earth according to what we value and what's important to us now from the place of depth, from the root, the root. And that's what Pluto helps us with. When Pluto's there, the energy can feel really heavy, and it feels heavy and it feels dark. It feels tar-like. It can. And once you are in that space and release and let go and lighten and take out the trash, you're going to find that being deep, because if it wasn't for Pluto, would we have these deep, intimate conversations that are going to take, you know, that are going to be intimate with our soul, where we can connect with our hearts? Would we have these conversations? Right?
No, we don't. We do need that aspect. We need every aspect of all the planetary gifts that are out there offering us things that we may not see. And this is a time for clearing out everything at the depth, creating a new structure, and making it about energy. You mentioned Pluto being in the depths and structure. And structure is what we're trying to get away from that doesn't work, to create a structure that does. Basically, Pluto, I think, is also showing us time doesn't really, that's not, you're trapped when you're stuck on focusing on time. Wake up and see what you're feeling. And sometimes it hurts to do that. As you said, it can feel dense, it can feel heavy, it can feel tar-like. But until you actually face those feelings and go through that tar and move through it, you don't really understand the power of being able to see how we've been trapped by time and the freedom that is available to us by learning to work with energy. It's all about we're energy.
Yeah, we're exactly. We're learning how to work with energy, be energy managers. That's
yes.
Managing our energy and managing it strategically and from being smart. It's like, no, I'm not going to react to this. No, I'm not going to. No, that's not where I'm going to go. Oh, I'm not going to do that. That's like, no, choosing what battle you're going to get engaged in, what you're going to do. You're managing your energy. What's going to bring me the most peace? What's going to be most authentic for me to play in with the energies? What's going to bring me the most joy? What's going to bring, you know, because when you're in your joy, when you're managing your energy, that is serving the whole.
That's true. That is so true. And most people think that love is the highest energy. And it's true that love and light are the most powerful energies in the universe. That's absolutely true. However, joy is a manifestation of love. So actually, joy has a higher vibration in some ways because love incorporates joy. It's in there. So doing what you are joyfully engaged in is a very powerful thing to be doing. And it's hard to find joy on some days when you're moving through the sludge, but you can always find it if you just concentrate on something that you're grateful for. A loved one's smile, a beautiful sunset, a starry night, you know, a nice breeze when it's too warm, or the warm sun when it's cold. There's always something there to be grateful for.
There is always something to be grateful for. And I love that. And then also one thing that I like to do when I feel out of sync with myself is that I like to go back to a past memory of where I felt really good, like where I felt really good, whatever it was, right? And using that feeling to bring that feeling into the present moment. So I'll go into the memory and like, oh, that felt so good. That felt so good. And right away, it's like, wow, yeah, that's the feeling. That's what I want to feel right now.
I think we need to claim those feelings and with whatever techniques work to bring them into the present moment with real vigor and reality. Yes, we need that.
And right now is the perfect time to do that because Pluto is here. And if you're going to take that wonderful, joyful feeling and put it in the root of Pluto on the ground, all the way in the depths of the soul, that's what you're going to be building your new earth on from that place, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's the foundation.
And also sign up for your course that's upcoming because it's going to support you. As you can see, beautiful Pia is a wonderful lecturer and explainer. She knows what she's talking about. She's been doing this work for years, and this is going to support you. It's a wonderful investment. Tell us how to get to where people can sign up for the course.
Just my website, which is Pia Orlean, PIAORLEANE.com. And it's right there on the homepage. You can look for it where it says workshop. As I mentioned earlier, today is March 1st, is the last day of the early bird discount. But for your viewers on your show, I will extend the discount of the early bird, letting everyone who gives me the code Cornelia when they register it, I'll refund the overpayment so that you have the early bird fee because they're listening to your show and supporting this work that we're doing together in community. That's my gift to help people be part of community, do it together.
Yes, and that's a wonderful gift, and we thank you so much for that. So, and then also we'll put it in the description of the YouTube video as well.
Okay.
Your link. So we'll put that there. And then let's see, what else do we have? We're going to be back next month. By that time, you will have already had your course. You will have already educated and empowered and inspired so many people with the course creation of what it is that you're going to be helping them with. And then is this going to be an evergreen course as well? Meaning that is this going to be available for people to purchase after as well?
I'm working on that. It's a possibility. It's not concrete yet, but it's a possibility. Okay. Yes, we'll see.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, good. So do you remember when you were telling me about Venus in October of 2022?
I do. I remember Venus is moving into Libra for the first time in a very long time. The energy of peace and harmony and balance, which the world so desperately needs. And that's going to be a signification, a sign, an energy present to help us all breathe out a sigh of, whew, this time of all this hard work is moving out of the way. And we'll be in Venus and Libra to bring in more cooperative energies, more harmony in our relationships, more harmony between nations, all of these things, if we do our work now. But it's only if we do our work now. If we don't, what we can get is just apathy, laziness, not doing anything. But the opportunity will be there for all the peace and harmony our hearts desire if we use this Venus in Capricorn time to create a new structure.
Right.
Great the way they work together.
It is. It's wonderful. So, you know, because that's, I'm a Libra. And so, you know, this is a real dear time for me. And harmony is very important to me also. The harmonization of our lives, you know, our groups, our earth, where we, how we live with each other. For my entire life, I was around violence. And from the time I was a little girl, I was exposed to violence, seeing, you know, lots of violence in my childhood. So this, you know, and then growing up, it was, and then as I was in my 20s, it was important for me at that time not to put myself into situations where I continued those patterns. It was a constant choice, a constant, not choosing violence, but choosing the opposite, even though in my childhood, I was exposed to all of that. So, you know, this has been lifelong works of transcending this energy and not being a product of my society, but to be the creator of the new. And that's what we all are here to do. We're all here to assist with the human evolution on this planet, the likes of what has never been done before. And it's a really special time. It's a really sacred time. And we got this. We got this. Right, Pia?
It's our mission, and we're going to accomplish it.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And isn't that wonderful? We are the problem. We are the solution. We are the resource.
Love that quote.
So great. Thank you so much for being here again, Pia. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for the connection, for the conversation, and for the time together. It's been a really wonderful, energetic conversation, and I've enjoyed it very much.
Good. Thank you for listening, everyone. We're going to see you again next month on this channel with Pia. We'll see you next month. Have a wonderful March forward. So we'll see you all soon. Thanks, everybody. Bye.